Do you want to know the secrets of the secondhand subculture? Everything about auctions, estate sales, appraisals, and downsizing? What about learning how to make some extra money in the resale world? Well, this is the podcast for you. Welcome to Why Don't You Want My Stuff? The podcast hosted by professional appraiser, auctioneer, and the host of YouTube's Last Week at the Auction, Josh Levine.
Hey, we're live, and Why Don't You Want My Stuff? Welcome back. I am Josh Levine, your host. For those of you that don't know me, because you're new to this, I am the host of Last Week at the Auction, a retired auctioneer, a part-time appraiser, and a part-time picker. And that leads me into what today's episode's about. It is the thrift store tips and tricks, one of my more popular YouTube videos, and things I'm always asked about are how to get into this secondary subculture and how you can buy and sell and make money doing this. And for those of you that don't know me, I'm a serial entrepreneur starting businesses. And with that comes a lot of failure and a lot of lost money. And just so you know, thrifting has, thrifting and yard sales and estate sales have, saved me from financial ruin, more than once in my life. A matter of fact, three times. Terrible bankruptcy 2001. I found myself broke and I started buying and selling, you know, $5, $10, and $15 items from yard sales and thrift stores and making a living doing that, you know, selling on eBay and some other things. We're going to get into like places to resell in probably next week's episode. But for this week's episode, I want to talk about thrift stores and how to find and buy and sell and, you know, how to make extra money. I also went through a pretty interesting divorce back in, I don't remember, 2005, six again, ended up flat broke, had no money and, dove into the secondary, market and made a living and came out of it with a new business model. And then my latest business failure and with COVID going on, guess what? Thrift stores were open. You know, they were an essential business. So there were still people cleaning out their house and donating things. And I found a lucrative market there buying and selling. And again, it's, you know, being broke's not fun. And I really truly believe, with a little bit of homework and, you know, and very little money, you can bring yourself, out of poverty. And I'm not kidding. I've done it with buying and selling and, the secondary market and using thrift stores to do that. I've actually had some feedback where people get angry when I share these tips and tricks. They get mad because I introduce people to this market that they feel is theirs and it's their way to make money. And then I get people who are mad that saying because of our industry and the secondary subculture that is causing prices to go up where people can no longer afford to buy. I get feedback where the thrift stores are no good anymore. The prices are too high. You know, they can't buy and sell there. And to that point, I'm going to have in a later episode, that just means you need to expand your areas of interest. And we're going to get into that. So, but for today, we're going to talk about the tips and tricks for thrift storing and where you, what I like to do. And hopefully some of these rub off on you and also you share some of your great ideas. So three main points that I'm going to make, is picking your departments, you know, knowing what you like and where, what genres you're into and where you can make some money. Where to shop and strategies. Like when I say where, there's thrift stores everywhere. And, you know, I just really think you're going to like this episode and, you know, just really deciding what you want to buy and sell. So that's something I'm going to get into. So without further ado, I'm just going to jump right in. I don't have any guests today. No one likes to talk to me on my podcast because I typically don't let anybody else talk. That's not true. I just haven't asked anybody yet because this is new. So let's get into it. So first, I'm going to say visit often. Now, what's that? Sounds broad. Visit often. That means just because you went to a thrift store and didn't find something today, check it out tomorrow. Their inventory changes all the time. People are donating. If you sit in the parking lot of a thrift store for 2 hours, you will see 20, 30 people drop off random bags of stuff, and they are putting this stuff out on the floor as fast as they can. I've gone to a thrift store in the morning. They've had nothing and gone back a few hours later, and they have lots of cool things. You know, just because you struck out, don't give up. Always check. There, I know a couple of guys will call them honeypots. They'll be like, oh, I got this one honeypot. They got this one thrift store that just always has the good stuff. And they know the sweet spot and the time. So that's the next one. I'm going to get into the prime time. So number two, we're going to say the prime time. Learn when is the hit, that time to hit these thrift stores that is the most, it seems like you're first day of fishing, you know, they just stocked. Okay. Certain thrift stores do have a stocking routine, and you will find that. I've been told by several managers that they go, no, we don't, we don't. And then I've talked to the employees and they're like, yeah, it seems like everybody drops off on, so, you know, on Friday. So, you know, Saturday and Sunday we're stocking up, or on Monday, whatever day they get the most. And it seems to be different for areas. And also knowing that after holiday weekends, 3-day weekends, a lot of people get that same idea to clean out their house. So you can bet as soon as the thrift stores open on Monday, they're dropping off on their way to work, or they're dropping off that Saturday before. So I find some amazing buys right after holidays. This last Memorial weekend was really good. The next, also when you see yard sales everywhere, guess what they're going to do if the yard sale wasn't successful? They're going to donate. And a lot of people are jaded and go, oh, you know, they had a yard sale, so there's nothing left that's any good. Not true. It's just not true. People start, and once people start cleaning out, they have this weird thing that these things they put out for yard sales, well, all of a sudden they start going, you know what? While I'm in this process, let's start throwing away. Let's start donating some of the good stuff from the house that we don't want. People are becoming minimalist right now. It's kind of a trend. So they're downsizing. I have shows about that. Next, number three is have a plan. And what I mean by that is when I walk in a thrift store, I have a plan. 90% of thrift stores are set up by department today. Thank goodness. There are still those old ones that aren't. I have a couple of favorite haunts that you think they threw stuff out with a shot. You know, they just threw it out all over the store. You know, we call it, it looks like they're having a yard sale indoors. Yes. But most of the larger, Goodwills and Savers are set up by department. And you know what you like or might have an eye for or might have a concept of what's good and what's not. But also, so that's what I do. I walk in, I immediately hit the toys. I'll go to the toy department of the thrift store because I'm looking for those vintage collectible toys that people like. And what is vintage today? You got to keep your knowledge. You got to keep up with the times. Vintage toys are now like the early 2000s. Yeah, did that freak you out? It freaks me out. So, you know, some of those toys are very hot and collectible. So that's the areas I'll look at. I'll look at the toys. Of course, I'm looking for the really vintage stuff I like, the 60s, 70s stuff. But, you know, where you can make money. Then I'll move into the electronics. Vintage electronics are very collectible, and I know something about vintage electronics. So I go there. Then I'll go check out the art department. Art is probably where I've made the largest scores historically. And when I say largest scores, like the spend $30, sell for $1,000. Whereas the toys are bread and butter. Buy for $5, sell for $35. That is a nice profit margin, right? You know, and then I'll hit the knickknacks. They always have a couple of shelves of all the knickknacks and household goods that are more the antique-y stuff. And I'll hit that. And then I'm usually like, I'll check out some books. I'll check out some bric-a-brac, you know, the miscellaneous. But I'm typically, that's where I'm going to hit. Now, and I'll get into why I don't hit some other areas soon. Then don't second guess yourself. That's another tip. And when I say that is trust your gut. At these prices, does it matter if you make a mistake? If you bought something for $5 and it wasn't worth $50, you're going to get your $5 back. It's kind of like, and it's also a paid education. And it's also why I say shop in the areas you like, because guess what? If you're going to get stuck with something, you know, it's kind of like what, you know, you don't mind this around your house. And again, you could put it out at your yard sale and probably get your money back, or we'll get into that. So also a technique I see a lot of people do, it irritates me, but I get it. So I'm going to tell you as a, you know, it's the cart it around and drive with it for a while. Now this goes against my trust your gut, don't second guess yourself, but I will see, and you're going to see this now that I pointed out, someone will get a cart. They'll go around and shop all of their things in the, all the things they think might be worth money, they put in their cart. So they have possess it. And then they get out their favorite app, and we'll have a whole episodes about the way you can look up prices, resale prices. And they'll look these things up. They'll be looking on Amazon and eBay and Etsy and all these sites. And then they'll go and put the stuff back that they don't want. This way no one takes it while you're looking, because nothing gets. So as much as that irritates me, nothing irritates me more than when I'm looking at something and somebody reaches over my shoulder and takes it and puts it in their cart and drives it around while I'm going, I was going to buy that. Well, you didn't possess it. So, you know, I can't be mad about it, but I've seen people come to blows over things like that. So again, it might be a good con. Maybe you're comfortable doing that, putting it in a cart and driving around. I just can't do it. I like to believe I just trust my gut, grab it and walk out the door, but I look things up too. Trust me. All right. And then I say, you know, the price is right. You know, people are complaining about the prices rising. I especially hear it from my friends that are into vintage clothes. They'll say, you can't, you know, the prices are cheaper at Target and Walmart than they are. Well, you know what? Then don't buy it. I go to another thrift store. The market forces will solve this. So what'll happen is if they stop selling clothes because everybody says what you say, they're going to lower their prices. So it'll figure it out. That's fine. Just go to a different thrift store. There is always another thrift store. If you Google thrift store near me, I don't care where you are, you will find, we are blessed in this area. We are in the Phoenix metro area with just an unbelievable amount of thrift stores. I think there's one within every four blocks. It's really crazy. So also here's another tip. And this is one I always say, give back to. And what that means is, And there's a couple of different reasons for giving back. Give back, one, because you have that stuff you couldn't sell, put it back in the system and let's recycle. Also give back too, because it's good karma, you know, donating some things that somebody else could make some money on. I've done that with art where I just haven't found the market for the piece, but I'll donate it back because maybe somebody else can find somebody to pay $100 for this print that they're going to put out for $5. I just couldn't do it. And then also, you won't become a crazy hoarder, because I can't tell you how many of us pickers out there end up becoming crazy hoarders because they can't let go of that nickel or dime they could make on this thing. They bought it for $5. They can't find somebody that'll give them 20, and they just can't let it go. And it stacks up and stacks up. You know who you are. I've been you, but I purge. Just purge. I like to try to drop stuff off at least every month, if not every week when I'm out thrifting. All right. So neighborhood matters. This is a big one. All right. You're going to find certain neighborhoods. We are blessed to live on the border of a very affluent area, and they donate things that you and I would go, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? So know your areas. I don't care if you have to drive, you know, well, and with gas prices, you should care, but you might have to drive a half an hour to go to the right area, the best thrift stores, but check them out. Set up a tour for yourself. You know, if you're doing this to make extra money, you know, chart it out on your way home from work or your way to work. You can figure this out. I'm telling you, if you give it a little time, there is money in this. There's, you know, and I'm working on a series, Vince and I have been putting together on, I called it how I made $4,000 in 4 days. And it's literally just a reality show episode of how in a weekend I took $1,000 out and made a $4,000 profit off the things I bought. Not because I'm a genius or knew what was there. It's not staged. It literally, I just went out. I was hoping to call how I made $10,000 in 10 days or how I made, you know, $30,003. But the fact was I made $4,004. So it can be done, and I can teach you all these tricks, and I'm not selling you a course or anything. I'm just trying to give you this information. Should I sell a course? I should sell a course. What am I doing? Anyway, next one, and I've kind of touched on this, is buy what you like. Buy what you like because you will get stuck with things, number one. Number two, I find people absorb what they can make a profit on in the genres they like. So if you're in the records, if you're in the music, you will remember that, you know, a first pressing Beatles record is worth a lot of money, or you'll know that punk records from the 80s are really good, or heavy metal records from the late 80s, early 90s are now like becoming in vogue. And again, these are margins where on a typical day you can buy a record for $3-$4 and sell it for $30 and $40 if you know what you're doing. And what kind of profit margin is that? And when you find one, there's usually 30. So if you buy 30 and do, you know, sell for 30, you know, you're talking $900. I mean, you can make a really nice, that's a great day, right? Making $900 a day. And this is real. This is real. It takes some work. It takes some education, but this is out there every single day. So buy what you like. You will do well in that. That said, make sure you keep an eye on what's going on, because that's really how you can broaden your horizons. And that's when you hit areas that everybody knows about. Like vintage video games, all of a sudden I used to make a living selling vintage video games and board games. And then people started to hear about it, and all of a sudden I couldn't find any. And if I would have just been like, oh, I give up, everyone knows, this is done, you know, I had to learn something new. So I learned costume jewelry names. Boring, right? To me, it was boring. And it wasn't what I like. However, I like making money. And it's funny, once you start to learn a new genre, you start to like it. It's pretty funny about that. So next is, this is number 9, and it's called All in a Name. And what that means is resale values have always been in a name. Artists, brands, everything, like, you know, the popular brands, the things that then become collectible always are this higher end of these names. But when I say it's all in a name, you've heard of Tiffany, and you've heard of Cartier, and you've heard of these brands, and, you know, in guitars, Gibson and Fender, and these things, you know. The trick is learning the names that people don't know that are high end, that you didn't know and I don't know, because I didn't know anybody that could afford them. You know, one that people out there who know, they're Buccellati. Let me give you an example and a great little story. I had a client that had a bunch of jewelry that looked like costume jewelry because it was bling, bling, bling. And I looked at it, and I'm looking at this loop, and I see this name, Buccellati. I'm like, Buccellati, I don't know who this is. And the lady says to me, that's Buccellati. And I said, oh, I've never heard of it. And she goes, that's because you don't know anyone that can afford it. And she was right. When I looked it up and saw rings were $40,000, $70,000, she was right. But I never forgot that name because of that. And a few months later, sure enough, someone had consigned a piece. And I'm like, do you know who this is? And they're like, no, my aunt had this. I'm like, this is Buccellati. Boy, did I sound intelligent, number one. But number two, I'll be on the hunt for that forever, because I know that. And those are the things you will find, and your education and your knowledge will give you power over others that don't know these names. So, and that's in everything. That's in electronics. I had a record player once called a Soda Sapphire, S-O-T-A. I'd never heard of soda. Well, it's because, again, I didn't know anybody buying $5,000 record players, do you? But that was the world these were in. It's in bicycles. It's in everything has a high-end market that you don't know. But if you learn it, and then the world of art, of course, there's millions, I'm going to say millions, and I'm not exaggerating, of artists that you don't know that are worth money. Probably hundreds of thousands, but it could be millions. Next and last, what I'm going to get into is know the sales days. And what I mean, this sounds, every thrift store has a sale program. They have a sale day. They might have a senior day. They might have a day that everything's half price. They might have ask the managers, go up and ask, do they have a rewards program? Do they have any way you can save yourself a little bit of money? Is great. Now, I want to throw in another thing that's a little on the controversial side. I want to talk about goodwill for a second. They told me to throw in some controversy. A lot of people will bring up goodwill and they'll say, oh, do you see how much money the CEO makes? They're not a charity. They're not this. You know what? There are thrift stores out there that I truly believe in their cause. They're small, like, you know, animal shelter based thrift stores that their profits go to an animal shelter. There's great ones for like St. Vincent de Paul that, you know, really give back to the community. And then there's Goodwill. And I believe Goodwill's current thing is they have a career center and everything you donate over a certain percentage, everything you buy goes to the career center and stuff. But there's people that really don't, you know, care for what they do. I say this though, they're recycling things that would normally go to the landfill. I think they have the numbers when you're in there. I heard it over the loudspeaker and they're saying they're the number one recycler in our state, which is true. So they provide a good service there. And two, they provide an economy for pickers and people out there that can upsell these and make a profit, as well as people that can't afford new. So they do provide a service, if you like them or not. And again, I'm not a shareholder or anything. I just say, you know, before you just paint with a broad brush, you know, come on, there is some benefit to what they're doing. And we do live in a capitalist society. So you get mad at them and then people get mad at me for buying things that they're reselling it. But there's a whole group of people that I'm actually performing a service for. These are people that don't want to go to Goodwill and look for these items. And I'm saying, hi, here they are. It's $35. Would you like to buy it? Yes, I paid $3 for it, but they want to buy it and knew it was $100. So, and the world keeps spinning and spinning. So I just hope these help you. If you ever have any questions, you know, just shoot me an email, josh@joshlevinespeaks.com, and I'd be happy to help you. My phone actually gets blown up just about three times a day with people shooting photos over to me going, hey, look at this score. Share your scores with me because I love hearing about this stuff too. And in conclusion, I got to wrap things up, but you know, this is real and not a get rich quick scheme. This is, you know, you can do this for a living. If you're willing to do some homework and visit your local antique stores, watch local auction sales and study some eBay results, you're going to be shocked to learn how much money you can make doing this. You know, picking is a method of reselling that, you know, these treasures, you know what, next week's episode, and I promise, I'm going to promise right now in this recording, so I actually do it, is going to be, you found these things, you know they're worth some money, more than you paid for them, what are the best methods for selling them? So next week, we're going to get into that. So I am Josh, this was Why Don't You Want My Stuff, and it was an episode about people who want all of this stuff. So I'm signing off, and I'll see you guys next week.
Thank you for listening to Why Don't You Want My Stuff with Josh Levine. If you're interested in learning more or becoming an expert, please follow and support the show by rating us on your favorite podcast player. Engage with us. If you have ideas or questions, send an email to josh@joshlevinespeaks.com. Or you can visit www.joshlevinespeaks.com. We'd love to talk about your question on the show. This has been a T-Door production. Music by RKVC.